The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. A few days when I was writing the show, I had journaled, and so I think in beginning, I wanted to share from my journal. And here's how it goes. As I write the show, I'm surrounded by the darkness of the early morning hours. I awakened with so much on my mind and heart. Last night, I re-entered the world of the news. I had refrained from it for a while. My spiritual director, who by the way is a great guy, had reminded me that St. Ignatius and all other holy ones had said, when you find yourself agitated and full of angst, step away. That's not from God. You know, a tree is known by its fruit. Agitation, angst, stress, you know, hot-tempered, those are not synonymous with God, with peace and good fruit. So what do we do? What do we do, my friends, when, if you're like me, you've been in that spot, that sort of sense of being agitated, like, I'm done, this is it. And that kind of thing where you wake up in the middle of the night and there you are wide awake. So what I found out, and I spoke to people much wiser than myself, is that in those times, you know, when we do feel ourselves full of stress or angst, the idea is to step away. The idea is that whatever is, you know, if watching the news causes me to get really crazed, might be a good idea for me to step away from it. Might be a good idea that if I'm around certain people in certain conversations, that those are tough for me, it might be time to just step away a little bit and take a breath. Now, you may be thinking, what if those are people in my own home? Well, there's a way to be contemplative in the midst of activity. You know, if you've ever been on a plane with all the noise and the activity, you can still just sort of look out that window or close your eyes for a few minutes and separate yourself, you know, go interiorly, go inside within ourselves. That's amazing what we can do there. Silence helps things in so many ways. Silence even with a smile. And so I was reminded of Joshua, the scripture Joshua 1, verse 9. It's so cool. It is, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So it's like, wow, Jesus, you're with me. No matter what, you're with me. And at times we might think, okay, Lord, you're with me, but I'm dying on the vine here. You know, there's a lot going on. And yet God still says to us, I'm with you. You know, he says to us, do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not give up. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in good season we will reap if we do not give up. That's Galatians 6, verse 9. So I find myself being a little disappointed, to say the least, with the way things are in our culture right now. All right? And there's a lot to be said for it. There's a lot of euphemisms that, you know, drip like honey and cut like a knife that are being said out there. There's just a lot going on. But for you and me, we can still cling to that which we know is truth. Truth with a capital T, okay? For those of us who have grandchildren or children or young ones, nieces, nephews, whatever your lifestyle has brought you, you're probably involved with some children, some situation that concerns the future. Let me just share with you something that a dear, dear friend of mine shared with me. And it's a posting from a gentleman, I don't know who he is. I don't even know if it's a famous person. It's not me. And he's, I found that his posting was just fabulous. So and it brought me a lot of comfort, and I shared it with my adult kids, and I think that brought them a great deal of comfort too. And it basically empowered me to not feel so much like a victim. And here's how it goes. Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids because the world they're going to grow up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they're in. And by the way, friends, that's true of us that are not kids. You know, God called us for the exact moment in where we are at this moment, this time in our lives. and go back to his writings, their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them up in the authority of his word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. God is in control. Inspire them to know they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. That includes you and me. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child, and I might add you, can handle whatever challenge that we face in life. And our children will be able to handle whatever challenge they face in their life. God treated them specifically for it. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. Rise up to the challenge. Raise Daniels, Davids, Esthers, and Peters. God isn't scratching his head wondering what he's going to do with this mess of a world. He has an army he's raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. That's you and me too, friends. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God placed on your children, your grandchildren, your nieces or nephews. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little ones. And we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them. But our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whatever children we might embrace in our lives, they were born for such a time as this. And this gentleman signs it with just some thoughts from a dad who is rocking his sleeping baby and thinking about what a crazy time it has been in our country. So, friends, when I read that, I was just so empowered by, wait a minute, I am not a victim. You know, as victims, we know what we don't like. What we have to come in touch with is what we do like. And for victims don't see the opportunity or the possibilities in the situation. All they see is negativity. You and I, we have an opportunity here to be able to see what's the possibility here. What am I being called to do here? How can I step up to the plate as opposed to just bemoaning the situation? You know, right now, it doesn't look great, okay? Right now, it's as if, as Catholics, that we are, I'm telling you, it's like we are just being bounced around like ping pong balls. You know, wowza. It's not the best moment in time. And it looks like, in some ways, that we are being crucified. You know, our beliefs about marriage and gender and the unborn and life and freedom to be able to think and speech and not have to be a big group, but rather to be individuals, unique and matchless. Those are not being met in the culture right now. Right now, it looks as if one has to think like everybody else to be accepted. One has to speak like everybody else. If our speech, if our thoughts, if our ideas seem to be different than those that have the largest, you know, the loudest voice, then we're shut down. We're told to be quiet, stand to the side. But my friends, none of that is the truth, not the real truth. The devil and his minions are having a blast, but that's where you and I are called to endure. Remember the image of Our Lady. What is she doing? So many statues of Blessed Mother do what? They portray Our Lady. She's prayerful, she's calm, she's peaceful, she's beautiful, and she's stepping on the head of the serpent. She's crushing Satan. So, my friends, you and I have a choice. You know, we can curl up in a ball and die. You know, we can cower. We can bemoan where things are right now. We can stand up. We can speak for what is right. We can pray. We can be prayerful. We can be optimistic. We can look at what the possibilities that exist. That doesn't mean that it's Pollyanna. Look, these are tough times. There's no question. What's going on in our country, what's going on in the secular culture is absolutely defiant of the laws and truth of Jesus. So we know these are tough times. But you know, we can put our focus on the Lord. I heard a wonderful priest. I just love this. A wonderful priest who was talking about Mother Teresa. And he said, you know what? Mother Teresa's television was the tabernacle. That's what hers was. Mother Teresa said, my television is the tabernacle. That's where she sat. That's where she searched for truth. That's where she received the truth. That's where Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta was able to do the incredible work she did. My television is the tabernacle. My friends, you and I, now more than ever, we are called, summoned to come before our Lord, to be with our Lady, okay? Remember, and the same priest was sharing this, he said, when Jesus was in the tomb, our faith remained in one person and only one person. That was the Blessed Mother. She was the one with hope. She was the one who believed. Was she sad? Of course she was. Was she brokenhearted? Of course she was. She was a mother. She was a woman. She was a human being with a heart like none other, without sin. Of course Our Lady experienced those emotions of absolute loss, brokenhearted, and sadness. However, she believed in something through it all. She knew that God was with her. She was the one with hope. She was the one who was willing to hold on to the truth of Jesus, whether she saw it or not. She was the one who believed the words, faith is what is hoped for and not yet seen. Our Lady is our leader. She will take us to Jesus. She will help us. She will protect us in her mantle of love and truth. So you and I, what are we called to do? Remain with the Blessed Mother. Pull out our rosaries. If you pray a rosary now, if you pray a rosary, consider praying another decade with a friend. Consider praying a rosary with a group once a week, inviting a neighbor or your family, even just a decade. Consider praying, perhaps if you can, an extra decade a day, just for our country. Be faithful. Hold on. Trust that you're not alone. Don't panic when I say that. I'm saying it to myself as well. Again, I heard another wonderful priest. He said, look, don't panic. He said, why are you surprised that a liar lies and that a thief steals? You know, those that embrace the falsehoods and the lies of the evil one, how can we expect that good's going to come from that? It's not. So what we're called to do is pray. Pray for those people who have accepted the counterfeit rather than the authentic. This isn't the time for you and I to hang our head to cower. This is a time, my friends, for us to seek grace and work with our Lord. It reminds me of my grandpa. My grandpa, God bless his soul, is long gone, but crossed over to the other world. But grandpa came as a baby with his Italian parents. They came to this country as immigrants from Italy. They had nothing, absolutely nothing. So when my grandpa would say the next words I'm going to share with you, he lived those words. Grandpa would say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And my beautiful parents throughout our lives, when we as kids would complain or we'd be struggling with an issue, maybe not even complaining, just really knowing that we're up against it. The challenge was much bigger than us. Mom and Dad would say, remember, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, friends, right now, the going's pretty tough. But you know what? So are we. We can endure. We can, with the hand of our Lord, we can do all things, right? We can. All right, our freedom doesn't come from talking heads. Our uniqueness doesn't come from whether somebody accepts us or not. You and I and every single baby, every single individual, every single human being, born and unborn, aborted and not, and given the freedom to live, every one of us have value and dignity, and we are created in the image and likeness of Jesus. No one can usurp our God-given right to think, to believe, to practice our faith, to thrive. That comes from the God of the universe. The Lord is ours to receive how? In the Eucharist, to adore in the Blessed Sacrament. He's our go-to at every second of our lives. When we're at that point where we're thinking, I'm finished. I've got nothing left. This is ridiculous. I never thought I'd see this. On and on, you can imagine. That's the moment when we say, Lord, I'm with you. Use me. Don't let my limitations stop me. Lord, as my brother says, Father God, you know, don't let me be interrupted by my mind. Okay? Don't let me be interrupted by my mind. So, friends, we hold on to the rosary. We move forward. I have to tell you a story about my dad. My dad died less than a year ago, okay? And I am just crazy about my dad, as are my 7 siblings. And who knows? I mean, there's almost 100 in our immediate family with grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And Pop was a very, very hard worker and a disciplined man and a man who really, really enjoyed living life. He loved family. He loved people. He loved food. He loved God. And Dad, in the midst of all that he built with his business and his company and the family, he started out with nothing. But through it all, my father knew who God was, and he knew he wasn't God. Toward the end of my dad's life, it was just a few months before he died, and I happened to be with him. It was a beautiful sunny day, and Dad and I were sitting beside one another. And my dad's phone rang. He answered it. He always answered it. He answered it quickly. The phone was on speaker. Pop couldn't hear that well. So I was privy to the whole conversation. It was one of my brothers, and he was sharing with my dad about the challenges of COVID and the challenges that COVID presents to business and conducting business as usual. My dad listened, and throughout, he'd ask a question. My brother would answer. My brother would continue. And his dad was involved in this conversation. I was blown away by how astute he was and how present he was, even in the midst of his illness. As the conversation started to come to an end, Dad said, "Son, you've done all you can do. Now pray to the good Lord, and I'll help you. I'll pray with you. You've done all you can. Now you pray to the good Lord." And with that, they hung up. And my dad took that beautiful hand of his and dipped it into his pocket, as I had seen him and all of us had seen him on countless occasions. And he pulled out his rosary, a rosary that had been worn for over 90 years of praying it. And he sat there quietly and he prayed his rosary. And probably that was a moment that was one of the best lessons I could ever learn from my dad. Pop had achieved all that the world would call worldly success. And in the midst of all of that, my dad stepped into the protection of the rosary. And that was a real lesson to me of the power of the rosary and the power of faith. Because when it gets down to it, my friends, no matter what we're involved here in this world, it's going to all end. And one day, we're going to be facing our Lord. And I like thinking about that part of what's going to get me there. This isn't particularly theologically sound, but I like thinking that the beads of the rosary are going to be my stepladder to heaven. This isn't the time for you and I to turn our back on faith, to give up. This is the time for us more than ever to do what? Do what my sweet daddy did at 93 years old, just a couple of months before he died. Pull out that rosary. Pray for one another. Pray for our needs. and to pull those dreams out that are in our hearts and our minds. Sometimes COVID has managed to bury those. You know, all we have is sort of negativity. Our God is a God of dreams and promises and perfect and beautiful will. Pull out those dreams again. See what Jesus might be calling you to. Our Lady didn't lose heart. Our Lady endured. She held on. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. That's Isaiah 41:10. You and I are surrounded by forces that do not believe in the dignity, the value, and the potential of the human being. So what do we do? How do we be vigilant without becoming, you know, absolute basket cases? Here's just a few steps and see what you think about this. Number one, embrace Our Lady. Pull out your rosary. If you already pray a rosary, consider it praying another decade or two. Consider praying it with a friend or a family member, or gathering a group to pray the rosary, maybe just once a week. Whatever, think about it. But pull out that rosary. Number two, control your thoughts and your mind. As I had said, my brother said, I don't let my mind interrupt me. Lord Jesus, you know, there's a proverb where we're told, think of those things that are in conjunction with the harmony of your soul, not that which brings you angst and stress. Sure, we have to look at our issues, but friends, we don't have to spend 24/7 doing it. We can look at what our issues are. As Sister Mary Rose used to say to me, Debbie, present to the Lord all your concerns. Give it to Him. And then be quiet about it and spend the rest of the time just praising Him and being with Him, knowing that you're loved and you love Him. So number two is control your thoughts and your mind. Don't let your mind interrupt you. Number three, if you're in the midst of a worrisome time, a shadowy time, think of St. Ignatius' sage advice. He said, in times of desolation, push against it. Act against it. If you want to stay in bed, get up. If you're eating too much, fast. If you don't want to talk or see anyone, call a friend. Get out if you're able. If you're feeling sorry for yourself, as my spiritual director said to me, you know, pull out a photo album. You'll be real grateful. All right, so number four, ask yourself, how much of my day is consumed with the past, the future? What about the present? How much of my day is consumed in the present? What opportunities exist today in the midst of tough stuff? Where's the opportunity? So it's about asking yourself some questions, huh? Number five, if you're feeling stressed, angst, what are you able to back away from? What are you able to back away from? Is it time to limit the amount of news bombarding you? Turn off the devices? God forbid. Can you imagine? I got to tell you, it's like my phone is my arm. It's ridiculous. And I often will say, how did this happen? I didn't sign up for this, but there I am with the phone. So it might be time to turn off the devices. Number six, when was the last time, another question, that you listened to beautiful music, recognized a sunset or the moon, or reached out to a loved one, or smiled at another? Okay? Seven, another question, when was the last time you exercised? Guilty as charged. I guess you know when I ask that, the inference is usually, have you exercised at all? And for me, it's not been a real good record. Maybe for you it has, and if so, God bless you. Good for you. When was the last time you exercised, took a walk, took care of your physical health? I know you know that when we do this, you know, when we exercise, our brain really does function at a more optimum level. And we're able to think in a clearer, more productive fashion. That's it on my list. And my hope is that something in that list will touch your heart. Just something. Sometimes all it takes is one step. Do it. You just do it. You don't think about it, we just do it. Okay? So, my friends, maybe the plan is in the midst of the world we're looking into, you know, maybe the plan is to really enjoy a Sunday. Jesus gave it to us a day of rest. You're probably thinking, I can't rest on that day. I've got kids, I've got health issues, I've got this, I've got that. I work all the time, it's the only time I can catch up, whatever it might be. I would say to you, okay, got it. Do it anyway. Do one thing you enjoy on a Sunday. After you go to church, do one thing you enjoy. Now, if you're like me, I was wondering when I was thinking about this, what do I enjoy? And I have to tell you what happened. I planned for that day of rest, okay? So during the week, I really did work so that Sunday would be just a day where Don and I, where we could relax, okay? And it's interesting because prior to it, I thought, I don't know what I'm going to want to do on that day. I have no idea. I don't even know what I enjoy doing. And I was in one of those moods. But I have to tell you, when the day came and I awakened and I knew I wasn't stressed, I knew that there was an opportunity, there was time on my side. That's a beautiful thing. Not being pressed. Time, go to Mass, and then there was time. And all of a sudden, I have to tell you, I thought of things that I wanted to do. It was wonderful. I took a drive. I got to do some reading. I listened to some music. It was amazing. So I'm thinking, my friends, that if you and I start doing this, week after week, we're going to really get good at it. Our Sundays are going to be absolutely wonderful days of rest, of fun, of enjoyment. It's just the way it goes, that if we start, if we get into a habit and we keep doing it where we rest on a Sunday, more and more, we're going to get a sense of what's good for us, you know? What's in conjunction with our spirit. So in closing, I just encourage you that, yeah, there's no question in my mind that we're in tough times. And there's no question in my mind that God is with us. And remember what Scripture tells us. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Another gem from Isaiah 40, verse 29. So friends, you just endure. Go through it. Know that there's opportunity and possibility. Know that we can step into the protection of the rosary. And know that our God has prepared us for this moment. He's with us. He is with us. And fear is not from him. 2 Timothy Chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Listen to this. You're going to love it. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for tuning into The Splendor View. That's www.splendorview.com. Thanks again. God bless you. And have a beautiful remaining part of the week.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.